Now, staying with the beautiful game, FIFA have also announced their list for the 2018 Player of the Year. And the nominees are headed by, yes, you guessed it, Cristiano Ronaldo. We really can't fault him, can we? And Lionel Messi. But our very own superstar Mo Salah of Egypt is also there in the 10-man short list. Kevin De Bruyne, Antoine Griezmann, Eden Hazard, Harry Kane, Kylian Mbappe, Luka Modric, Rafael Varane also complete the 10-man list. Now, the short list was compiled by legends that include Ronaldo of Brazil, Fabio Capello, and the former Chelsea midfielder Frank Lampard, with the final three set to be announced later this year because the award ceremony will be taking place on the 24th of September. Maybe we'll take you through your thoughts on that one on 0891103377 later on the show, because Neymar does not feature on the list. What do you think of that? Perhaps go through the 10-man list and see what you guys have to say. Also tonight, though, this one needs drum bells. What is a drum? Yes, the drums. Because my heart melts with joy and gratitude to have our very own special guest in studio with us. She was named South Africa's Sportswoman of the Year with a disability in 2011, 12 and 13. She became the first African wheelchair tennis player to ever play at Wimbledon earlier this month after being handed a wildcard entry into the grass court tournament. A huge deal. She flew back into the country yesterday and received a hero's welcome, with fans and family members waiting for her at the OR Tambo International Airport. Kgothatso Monjani is in studio with us tonight as we look back on her amazing, illustrious career so far. She has, of course, 29 single titles to her name, and yet, there are challenges in securing sponsorship because she traveled to the UK on her own financial pocket due to financial constraints from Wheelchair Tennis South Africa. We're diving into this one. We're debating this one. We're discussing this one. How does the first African wheelchair tennis player go there unsponsored to Wimbledon to wear the green and gold? 0891103377 South Africa. Good evening. This is the Ultimate Sports Show. Welcome back. 12 minutes after 6 o'clock, we have a very special guest in studio with us. Her story is that of guts and determination. She has overcome so many obstacles to be where she is today, and she carries the dreams and hopes of so many South Africans. She became the first African wheelchair tennis player to ever play at Wimbledon earlier this month, and that's after being handed a wild card entry into the grass court tournament. The 32-year-old made it to the semi-finals at the All England Club, where she bowed out with her head held very high after losing to top seed and defending champion Didier de Groot, whom she has plenty of experience playing with and against of Netherlands. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the studio, Kgothatso Monjani. Good evening, Kgothatso. KG.
Good evening to you too, and to the listeners.
I am so excited that you finally made it, because I think the very first time that I chatted to you, it's a long time ago. I must put it out there. We were in Soweto, were we not? We were in Soweto.
I think so.
I don't know what you were training for. I know how you've done plenty interviews, but that's the first time I think I was in your space, and already then it was incredible. Did you ever foresee your career turning out the way it's turned out?
Yeah, definitely not. You know, I didn't like tennis in the first place, you know. So for me, it was just a matter of, you know, let's just see where this takes me, because I didn't even know what I was getting myself into. I just played tennis because I was just a young kid who enjoyed playing sport. So tennis, it happened to be one of the sport. So for me, I just never, you know, so all these things coming my way. But what I know is I always worked hard, you know, and yeah, I guess that's why we are here today.
All right, let's talk about Wimbledon. You've just come back home. You came back yesterday. What was the whole experience like for you?
Yeah, I mean, the experience was amazing, you know. I mean, considering that when I went out there, I didn't have any expectations because I never played on grass before.
Yeah.
So for me, it was just to go out there and enjoy the experience, you know, and get to feel how it is to play on grass. So I think it was amazing because my time out there, it was nice. The tournament also itself, they made it memorable. Because, I mean, if people see it on the pictures, posting the royal family and all that, I think that's something awesome, you know. So they really made it memorable for me because I think, yeah, I felt welcomed in that tournament. So for me, it was quite an experience, an amazing one.
KG, for the listeners that perhaps are hearing you for the first time, and we're talking about playing at Wimbledon, we're talking about playing on grass, and they wondering why is it so difficult. You're a wheelchair tennis player, having played on clay, and an able-bodied athlete playing on grass already is heavy. So explain to our listeners the difficulties and the difference in moving from clay, where you swiftly move, to playing on a very heavy surface such as grass.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with wheelchair tennis, when you play on clay or on hard court, like you've got an ability to maneuver the chair using your body. But when it comes to grass, it's more on your arms, you know. You can't really use your body to really pull that wheelchair wherever you want to, like you get away on it on hard court. So it was just more of arm work than anything, which it was hard. I find it hard to...
Were you ready for that? Was your upper body ready for that?
I mean, I don't know. I think I'm fit. So, like, and I managed to push. I managed to play. Yeah. So, I think overall it wasn't that bad. But it wasn't something that I expected. I didn't think it would be that hard not to use the whole body to move the chair. But, you know, it was still playable.
Mm. Now, you went on to beat Katharina Kruger from Germany in the quarterfinals. You've met each other before, partnered with Lucy Shuka back in the Queensland Open back in 2015, partnered with her as well in the Israelite Open. So this was also not a new opponent. But at that point, I'm sure you started thinking, I'm going all the way after beating her.
Yeah, I mean, you know, funny enough, on tennis tour, like, you always meet the same openings, you know.
Yeah.
And mostly wheelchair tennis, because Grand Slam is only top 8 in the world. Mm. So you can imagine, we're rotating. So that's what happens. You just hope you get that player that you know that this one.
Yeah, you know her fault.
Yeah, I can just deal with her and pass over there. So that's how it is on tour. We know each other very well. And yeah, I guess I had a good draw, you know, so... That was good that I managed to win that first match.
And losing to the defending champion, Didier de Groot of the Netherlands in the semis. How did you take that?
I mean, you know, good second set. I mean, she seemed to be moving so fast on grass, which I was like a bit, you know, how's she doing it? Because I didn't think she could be that fast on grass, because I know on a hard court, she's one of the fastest pushers. But I was amazed on how she played on grass. I didn't expect that. Anyway, I didn't know how anyone would play on grass because it was my first time there. But, you know, I've realized she liked pace, you know, which I struggled with on the first set because I was giving her a lot of pace. So I had to like slow things down, play a lot of slides, take the pace off and whatnot. And I think that's why that second set stayed competitive. So I think I need to work on that to try to see such things on an early stage so that I can, you know, get into the match as quickly as possible.
Did your opponents have more practice and support in terms of practicing on grass and playing on grass?
Yeah, I mean, she had a week at Surbiton before Wimbledon. So as I was playing at Switzerland, she was already playing an exhibition tournament at Surbiton on grass. So yeah, I mean, she did have a, you know, and she played on grass last year. So basically, I guess she knew how to maneuver around grass better. So, and for me, I just had a day, you know, to remember the day I spoke to you that I'm just driving to Wimbledon today. Later that afternoon, that's when I had my first practice on grass, because the following day the tournament was starting.
Now, what do you take from such a huge match against Didier, defending champion? Because after that, you also went 6 on to the latest world rankings.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, I think it was much needed win from my first match, you know.
Yeah.
Because I knew that if I win that first match, I mean, ranking wise, I should be secured. So for me, it was more important to get there and win the first match so that ranking goes up and I get secured for the US Open.
Now, I also forget to take what the listeners are saying on social media platforms because Kay something Maduma says, Joe, I am in love with Khotatso's voice. Her voice rings nicely in my ears. Tell her, Khori, South Africa is proud of her. South Africa is really, truly proud of you. Hearing comments like that and being welcomed back at home, how does that make you feel?
I mean, you know, for me, it feels great being welcomed warmly back home and to the South Africans. I mean, I always do my best to represent my country well. I mean, you know, I take pride from just being a South African. Mm. But what South Africa doesn't know that through all those achievements, there's a lot of challenges along the way. But someone like me doesn't give up. I keep pushing through all that and, yeah, carrying the pride of being a South African just wherever I go in the world. And I mean, for South Africans, you know, I'm the only, you know, South African women wheelchair tennis player who ranks in the top 8, you know. So you can imagine, like, there's so many Dutch players in there.
It's incredible. I don't think they get it. I don't think they get it because, as you say, there's so much Dutch players. There's so many international players who have the infrastructures to be the best in the world in terms of playing clay or hard court and grass. And yet you are the only South African. Is that something that perhaps we're not grasping, that the magnitude of being in the top 8 in the world?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what, you know, the South African are not grasping, because one thing I tend to realize along my career is that in our country, we celebrate victory, you know. Mm. My country celebrate victory. They celebrate medals. They celebrate... They don't know, they just don't know what it takes for one to get there. And some of us, I mean, having to realize that in this country, they only celebrate you when you do well. And some of us, it takes courage to keep motivating other people who are like us. I mean, being born with disability, it's hard itself, you know, having to prove yourself to the society that I'm not sick, I'm just having a condition and all that. So it's tough, but some of us, we're just out there to make sure that we touch lives and we change lives.
You talked about the challenges, and I can hear the emotion, because you even shed a tear at the press conference after you arrived yesterday. Why was that?
I mean, yesterday it was emotional, you know, because the very most important people who have been by my side throughout all that are my parents. Mm. And they came to the airport. It was quite a surprise, you know. And I guess that's why it got me emotional. So I'm thankful for having parents like that who supported me all the way. Even the past 18 months, it's been tough at Wheelchair Tennis South Africa. But, you know, they've been there for me. They understand what I'm going through. And they just never gave up, because they believe in me, you know. But, you know, I shouldn't take away the fact that now people are so happy that I went to Wimbledon and whatnot. But I should actually thank certain people who made it possible, because if it wasn't for them, I wasn't even gonna, you know, set a foot at Wimbledon, because I didn't know how I was gonna do that. So big up to WBD Trust, which it was founded by Mrs. Mbeki. They came through for me when I needed help. Mm. They made sure that I get to Roland Garros, and they made sure that I get to Wimbledon. And also big up to my coach, who sacrificed time to go with me to Roland Garros without being on any payroll. I mean, there are so many people who sacrificed for me on these trips, but I don't think I give them enough credit. And I just want to take this opportunity and thank WBD Trust and my coach for doing that for me.
And we are really thankful to those that continuously give at the background without being noticed, because we want to celebrate you at the end of the day as South Africans, but we don't know the challenges you go through. You're saying you traveled with your coach, so you weren't alone. You were not alone.
No, I mean, to Roland Garros, obviously to Wimbledon, I was alone, because with the money that I had that WBD gave me, it wasn't enough to take a coach.
Now, this made a lot of people angry. You've got your top athlete competing on the continent, representing the continent for the first time, traveling to Wimbledon alone.
Yeah.
Because of financial constraints.
Yeah.
How does that sit with you?
Should I go and live in Chile? Maybe I'll get a lot of sponsorship for just being ranked in the top, you know. But I don't know.
Is that something you've even been thinking about?
you know, I love my country. I don't think I can trade my country for anything. But, you know, shall an opportunity like that arise, I don't see why shouldn't I take it. Because, I mean, you know, I've been in the sport for quite a while. But like I said, in our country, people want medals, people want records, people, I don't know, people celebrate history, but they don't know how much it takes for you to get to the top. People will be asking me, when are you going to be world number one? What does it take to get to the world number one? Without funding, without...
Do they know what that means?
Yeah, without proper support, I won't be able to achieve all that. But, you know, I just don't give up. I just don't give up. I keep persevering because I came to terms with myself that sometimes you don't do it for the people. You do it for yourself. I do it for my own cause. Like I said, all I want to do is encourage other people with disabilities so they give them hope to keep, you know, striving to the, to their own dreams because, you know, it's achievable. So for me, I think I stopped worrying about who does what for me and whatnot. I just enjoy playing tennis and overall, and I can't really complain or anything. As long as I do what I love, that's what I'm most happy about it.
Before we delve into the lack of support or financial support, you've touched on your disability and the fact that you're doing it for those that might have a similar disability or whichever kind of disability. Those that are not familiar with the story, you were born with congenital disorder, which affected both your hands and foot.
Yep.
And today you are able to represent South Africa.
Definitely. So you can see that, you know, my disability has never been a problem for me. You know, the society sometimes, they see the disability before they see the human being. So I think for me, it was just a matter of, you know, like you are human, you can do what other people does. So it was just never a matter of feeling sorry for myself and waiting for the world to come and rescue me. So you can imagine that's why even in sport, I excel because it's just my motto that do it for yourself because you know your abilities.
Talking about doing it for yourself and going to Wimbledon on your own, did that not throw you off in terms of your preparations? You're traveling one man. You've got equipment that you have to carry. One man, you're going to a world tournament. Not having someone by your side?
I mean, you know, in a normal world, I should be worried about that. But understanding my own situation, you know, like sometimes I had to sit down and have conversations with myself. And as an athlete, negativity doesn't really serve me any good. So I had to like sit down, have conversation with myself and figure out options. So for me, it was just a matter of how am I going to make it work? You know, I had to come up with solutions. This is what I need to do. And yeah, let me get someone onto the other side and we'll see how I pay that person and whatnot. So for me, it was just like getting solutions than anything. So I believe in focusing on positive stuff because negativity doesn't really serve me.
It doesn't. You're right. But today we need to find the answers. Today we need to find the answers to the questions as to why you were there alone. And the very people that were at the airport, where were they when you were alone? But let's hear what the listeners have to say. 089-110-3377. We've got a very special guest in studio, wheelchair tennis, a South Africa player, just represented Africa the first time in Wimbledon in wheelchair tennis. Mike in Rustenburg, good evening. Welcome to the Ultimate Sports Show.
Evening, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry my airtime will cut me, but that's a touching story, and that's I just wanted to say that's South Africa for you. I'm in tears, and I don't know what I can do to help. I really don't know, but she must just hang in there and like...
Oh, man. Okay. Khomotso in Shawelo.
Hello.
How are you?
All is well and yourself.
Good.
KG.
Hello.
Lebo, Khotasa is touching on somewhat of an obvious story for us people living with disabilities in South Africa. We are on our own. And every time there's something great happening, everybody tends to claim. But in the midst of all that, nobody tends to own us. We see a lot of people who laugh around on TV, and yet we don't even see one football analyst with a disability. So Khotasa's story is just the tip of an iceberg. It's like someone says, you being disabled is none of our business. You know, that's just South Africa for you, in a nutshell. But I'm glad that she perseveres to a point where she's been right now. And one day, when someone will be sensible enough, she'll be offered a sponsor like any champion deserves to. So big up to her.
All right. Thank you very much, Khomotso. Kagiso in Kempton Park. Good evening.
Hi, Lebo. How are you?
I'm very good. A bit emotional, but yeah, very good.
Look, same here. You're speaking to Kagiso Matsitse. I'm calling from Kempton Park. I'm very cheery right now. I mean, it's about time South Africa came to now at a blind eye. South African sports and recreation, they need to start doing something about things like this. We are South African. She cannot go all the way by herself without having a coach and be able to speak. As you just explained, now, how does she walk with all the kids and everything like that?
Yeah.
The kid and everything that she has in and alone. She couldn't even afford to take a coach with. How do you play without having a coach next to you? And we expect that to be the number one.
Mm.
I mean, seriously now, today I would be glad if, as everything that has been trending, I want her Khotaso to be trending today because of people need to open an account where you're going to be depositing money into that account to make sure that we support her.
All right.
I'm really teary and I'm sorry about that.
No, you and I both. Sorry about that. We get it. We get it. It's something that's for me very close to my heart because I've been doing this and I did disabled sport for so many years. And after broadcasting and singing, and you're constantly talking about people supporting women in sport, people supporting disability sport, and you still don't see it. In Bramfontein is where we're at. Tsepo, good evening.
Hi, Lebo.
Hello.
We are speaking, all of us, I think, with heavy hearts, you know? But it must not make the potato or, you know.
Yeah. Tsepo, are you still there with us?
Put us keep on the street and the boys that are smoking, nyaupe,
yeah.
And even the talented people like this one. I mean, please, open the bank account and you, Lebo, must lead it. You must tell your station manager there that we, the listeners of Metro, have said you must lead the opening of the account. We don't care about these people that are able to give someone's people 1 million, you know, to go and learn aviation. And they leave talented people like this one. Where is this money of Lotto that we bet every now and then?
Mm.
You know, all these foundations that you have, the NetBank foundations, where is the chairpersons of those boards to make a quick decision when Khotas was out there? So open the bank accounts. We as South Africans will give her a billion that she can make us out on.
Mm.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Tsepo Bramfontein. Koli in East London. Good evening. Hi, Koli.
Oh, hello, G. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you.
Hello, Khotalo.
Hello.
Okay, Moniz.
Kiteng, okay.
You know, that's where my radio suit was going to end. I'm okay. I'm good. I'm good. Listen, I can hear the heavy hearts here, very passionate hearts, I should put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd love to be a jackal and a jackal of masterly traits here. I'm going to call out a few names, names that I know are passionate about the South African black child, especially black woman. I'm going to call them as this. Here's my list. There's a very brave guy who is a very wealthy guy who is passionate about driving the black child forward. His name is an MC in Gauteng province. His name is Mr. Panyaza Lesufi. Mr. Panyaza Lesufi, I know that some of you people are listening right now, and I know how passionate you are about matters of magnitude and kind. And I know that by tomorrow or by the end of this week, there will be a call to Khotalo's management team or to her directly. I'm calling on a very good friend of mine, Thabo Molefe, Kibo Touch. I know my guy. You have people who you can call who and speak dial for you who are going to come through with this. I know someone is listening who is a great heir, a friend of yours, and a business partner. Lastly, Michael Porto, I am calling on you, my guy. You know the passionate Metro FM listeners. So the last call I had earlier alluded or articulated.
All right. So thank you very much, Xoli. Unfortunately, we've lost you there. But it's also not fair to talk about Wheelchair Tennis South Africa, the great work Khuthazo has done, without also talking about talking to Wheelchair Tennis South Africa itself. So we are joined on the line by the chairperson, Ntambi Ravere. Good evening, ma'am, and welcome to the Ultimate Sports Show, Ntambi. Hello, Mr. Ravere. Yes, welcome. Can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Firstly, the association really must be proud of how KG has done at Wimbledon. You really
could. I can't hear you.
Oh, you cannot hear me? All right. I think we're just having a technical glitch with Mr. Ravele, and we're continuously taking your calls on 089-110-3377. KG, I also wanted to, while we're getting Ms. Ntambi Ravele back on the line, also talk about the part that made you cry when you got back to OR Tambo yesterday, and the fact that you are saying it was against all odds when you were at Wimbledon.
Firstly, the emotional part, and people that were there were my family, my closest friends. So it was a very intimate welcome. Everyone close to my heart. So that's why it was emotional, because, I mean, not really a lot of people came out, but simply because the most important people in my life were there. That's
and
what
those that matter.
Exactly. And for me, defying all odds, I think, like I said, for me, it's just focusing on the positive side, you know. Like, as a person, when you tend to realize that this is your life, this is your future, you're just trying to do it for yourself. Because you tend to think, no one forced me into this career and whatnot,
sure,
regardless of what the nation expects from you. Yeah. So for me, it's just a matter of, like, black child, stand up, dust, and
yes,
life goes on.
You're on a special OPEX program. Tell us what that then covers in terms of what you need or don't need for your career.
What my special support OPEX cover is just few tournaments. I think three tournaments
per annum local.
International. Which I went to Australia. I went to the Masters last year.
Yeah.
Bath and Australia.
Do they choose what they cover, or do you? Is it up to them?
No, it's what the federation proposes when they send proposals. So those were the tournaments that they covered on that special OPEX program, because it's not a full OPEX, so it doesn't actually cover like coaching and whatnot. It's just cover your tournaments, including entry fees, visa, and all that. So yeah, it's not a full OPEX program. So I mean, they did their bit, SASCOG, you know. So, and it's for me to get a much better ranking in the world so that I can move into a full OPEX. And you know how SASCOG is so strict when coming to Paralympians and Olympians. So you actually need to be a medal competitor for you to get into that. So we'll see how it goes. Since I'm back on number 6, I'll keep pushing until I get it right. Then I'll be back on full OPEX.
All right, let's now talk to the Wheelchair Tennis South Africa chairperson, Ntambi Ravele. Hopefully we can hear each other well now. Good evening and welcome to the show, ma'am.
Good evening, and how are you?
I'm very good. Long time no chat.
Yes, yeah.
You must, though, be really proud of how Khuthazo has done at Wimbledon. You couldn't have really asked for more.
No, not at all, to be honest with you. And especially during these times where we are really struggling. We needed something that would actually keep us more positive and more focused.
Now, KG's trip, Ms. Ravele, to the UK wasn't without challenges. I'm sure you were listening. What challenges did Wheelchair South Africa have sending KG to Wimbledon?
I think I need to just give you a little bit of a background, because
yes,
it's not only about this particular trip only.
Mm.
We are struggling financially because of we lost one of our biggest sponsors, which was AXA.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, we couldn't host some of the tournaments that we used to host in South Africa. But also, we couldn't afford to pay for most of our elite players to go to their tournaments. And a player like KG in within her ranking, she had to play a certain number of tournaments for her to qualify for Paralympics. And that would be around 14 to 16 tournaments in a year. So those are the struggles that we are having, and within ourselves and the little money that we have, we jungle around on issues where we would then say, what best can we do? And then can athletes travel?
Mm.
And if they are comfortable with it, we then actually try and look at what funding we could give. And I think the information I got from the office about this particular trip is the fact that when it came in and the funding came in also, her coach, unfortunately, because of his not full-time with her, was actually committed somewhere else and he was not available.
So now, do you accept, as the association, the criticism of making Khotatso travel to the UK alone for such a big tournament?
What are you referring to? Are you saying have we expected the criticism?
No, do you accept the current criticism that is coming from the public, that we shouldn't have had KG travel alone to the UK for such a big tournament?
You know what? It is a criticism that we would accept,
mm-hmm.
but I think whilst we are accepting it,
yes,
we you know, if Khotatso didn't participate in that tournament, she would have lost one of her biggest opportunities. And possibly today we wouldn't be talking about the fact that we are struggling with sponsorships. So the issue is, one is that we could have said, no, Khotatso, you are not going.
And then
she would then have missed this big opportunity. And I think South Africans were going to criticize also for that. And that, I think, I will regret for that, because Khotatso was actually willing, even at that time, to say, yes, I want to participate, and then I would be able to go.
Ma'am, what is the financial state of wheelchair tennis South Africa at the moment?
It's not looking that good because of... Actually, let me just also give you another background. We have more than 500 kids throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
And our funding in some of the provinces, we get support from provinces, and the other provinces are not funding at provincial level. And then at national level, we get a little bit of funding from the Department of Sports. And then we then have a Khotatso and I think Ivan also it's also in that program, and Lucas. And they are funding them. And again, because of SAFCOP does have some categorization when it comes to elite program,
mm-hmm.
they are not falling on their top category. So they do cover certain activities. And then over and above that, we then...
Okay, so I do hear that in terms of the funding, because we are told that there's no money at the moment. And there was no money in support of her trip. Hence, she went alone without her coach to Wimbledon.
Yeah, that's true.
How is that?
Because of...
Yeah?
Okay, go on.
No, ma'am. Carry on.
No, I'm saying it is true. From my explanation, what I explained, I mean, the money we get from the department, it assists us on administration. It's not for international tournament. To cover activities of one athlete in a year, it cost us 750 to 1 million if they have to participate in all those activities. And that money, we don't even have it in our account.
So in order for KG to represent South Africa in all the tournaments in a season, in a year,
yeah,
it would cost 750,000 rand to 1 million rand. And there are no pockets of foundations, donations, nothing that could be done to assist her.
You are asking me whilst I'm actually one of the people who's running around trying to raise that funding. I think what we should be asking is what Corporate South Africa is investing in, especially in our elite programs.
Mm.
Because all these athletes who are going abroad, they are actually raising the South African flag high.
Absolutely.
And also, they are actually motivating a whole lot of kids within our communities to participate in sports and move away from all other social ills. So I think we should be challenging Corporate South Africa on investing, especially focusing on athletes that are doing very well for South Africa.
All right. Ms. Ndambi Ravel is with us on the line on the Ultimate Sports Show. I've had a lot of conversations with her, and I know how passionate she is about advancing successful athletes in the country. And she is the Wheelchair Tennis South Africa chairperson. And we're continuously taking your calls. Rama in Pietermaritzburg, good evening.
Good evening, lady.
Yes.
I just have a concern, which I'll address later. But first, I just want to congratulate you, Kutato, for your perseverance, for flying the flag high for South Africa, and for your resilience, because I can understand how hurtful and hard it is to be alone and trying to, you know, do your best.
Mm.
And you did that, and we are very, very proud of you. I don't think that should be overshadowed by the issues around why and how you did go. I just want to reiterate our pride in you, and every single effort that you put in was worth it.
Mm. All right.
Now, coming back to the other money issues, I think if you take, for example, a Bafana Bafana team, which is so far down the ranks of FIFA, as compared to somebody who is number six in the world, we as South Africans have failed in recognizing what is best for our country and how we should align the resources that we have.
Mm.
And my challenge is to the powers that be, that regardless of whether she's an able body, she belongs to South Coast, she belongs to whatever province or whatever it is, the recognition of talent, the recognition of perseverance and hard work, and the fact that here is a person, a single person, who's willing to stand up for our country as opposed to 29-member soccer teams that failed us at every turn. We have failed as South Africans. I think in as much as we would want to go to Corporate South Africa and ask for funding,
we have failed
ourselves.
That have failed.
We need to really relook at how we are attacking issues within the sports, within how we do things internally.
All right, Rama, thank you very much. And Pietermaritzburg, Dobsonville is where we're at the moment. Linda, good evening.
Hello, guys. How are you doing today?
Very good, thank you.
100. Guys, I've been listening to the show. I had to take some time, a moment, and say thanks to KG for standing out for all the South Africans out there. Listening to her, one thing that she kept on saying over and over is that she did it for herself.
Mm.
So that was the first person that she did everything for. She didn't do it for the country. She was the first person, first in the country in
the support of
in the continent as first. And then for that, I want to say to her, thank you million times for doing that, because at the end of the day, it was her and the rest of us behind her. Now, I hear we all complain about money issues, not having that and everything. Mm. I say, instead of us complaining about it, what are we going to do about it?
What are we going to do about it?
That's the first thing that we're going to say. I say, Linda Leseba, with my family, I'm willing to say I've got $500 that I will sacrifice out of my salary every month.
Oh, wow.
As a contribution to KG's requirements that we have. And then, you guys can have my details, give me a call, and then I can set up the debit order. And once we've got that account that is going to be open, whether it is directly to her bank account whatsoever. At least instead of us coming in and saying all the negative things and everything, what if we can come in and we say, I've got $50, what can I do? When do I start depositing the $50? That way we're doing something instead of complaining about something.
All right. Thank you very much, Linda Sillo in the Free State. Good evening.
Hi, Lebo. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you.
I'm good. Lebo, I think also, Ravel on the other line.
Yes, Ms. Ravel is listening to the conversation.
Yeah,
yes?
It's very important that she becomes clear about what was the issue. Was the issue about money or about the coach not being available full time? And in the interest of fairness, KG should answer whether her coach was not available on full time to live with her, because Mama mentioned her the money was there, but the issue was that her coach was not available, had other commitments. So in the interest of fairness...
Can I make a correction?
All right, okay. So let's let Mom Ntambi Ravele make a correction. Yes, Mama?
Okay.
No, I never said the money was there. We are still struggling with funding.
Okay.
So the money that was there was for her traveling.
Alone?
Sorry?
Alone. Traveling alone or with her coach?
It managed to cover her traveling. But I think if the coach was available, I think the issue was that they would have to work around to see how best can they use the little money that we have.
All right. I'm going to stop. Silo, just hold on, because the player is in studio. Would you please just come in and clarify this for us, KG? You are the one that was there.
Yeah.
The story is, I work with a private coach who's a full-time coach at a school. So my coach took some time out from his work to come with me to Roland Garros. Unpaid. And I had to cover his visa on the funding that I got from WBD Trust. Mm-hmm. And going, when I got a Wimbledon wild card, the schools were on holidays. What he does every month, every year, he takes a family holiday.
Mm.
And he told me that if he had a visa, UK visa, we should have known earlier that we were going to go to Wimbledon. He was going to come because he was already in Europe. He definitely was going to come because it was going to be cheaper for him. And the way he said it, he was willing to just book a flight and come to Wimbledon. So, but other than that, there was never, I didn't have enough money to pay for me and my coach, you know? The conversation I had with my coach was in Europe with his family, and should he had UK visa, he was going to make another sacrifice to come and help me. But either way, if it was for me to take him from home, I wasn't going to afford that.
So Wheelchair Tennis South Africa was never contributed a cent into that.
I mean, that's the money. Yeah. The money that I use is the money from WBD Trust.
All right.
Can I come in there quickly before I get cut off?
Okay. Okay. Yes, hello.
Yeah, quickly. The thing is, people need to be clear. We shouldn't be ambiguous about these things. If Mama says that the money was there, although it wasn't specifically for that, they could have paid even for the coach. She needs to be clear. Or the money was there, they could have... I mean, it's a big tournament.
All right.
Why let red tape get into the way of just making sure that KG sorted?
All right. So let's let Mom Ravele answer that one. Mom, Ms. Ravele, we thank you very much, Silo, in the Free State. You're saying the money was there, but we're hearing that in studio, WBD Trust is the one that actually paid for the coach to assist KG at the Swiss Open. At Roland Garros.
I think we're crossing to in our discussion. The money that we are referring to is the money from WDB.
Okay.
That's the money that covered...
That you are referring to. Okay.
That's the thing, yeah.
All right. No, I definitely
but
hear
you. But also, I think we can't divide the issue of finance from the coach, because of if we had we were having money, I think she would be able to afford to have a full-time coach.
That's another conversation. Yeah,
that's another conversation. So that's why I'm saying, you know, the issue, the biggest challenge here is funding. Because to be very honest with you, I think she could have actually performed much better if the coach was there. And actually possibly the technical team that any athlete at that level would actually need the support staff.
Did she get allowance at least when she was there?
Allowance from what? From
Wheelchair South Africa for the
Wheelchair South Africa, as I'm saying, we are actually, we don't have money. The only funding that we got now of late, and actually it's now after she came back, is the money that we got from lottery, which again it still needs to be allocated for all 500 athletes in our programs.
Hi, Mam Ravele. You know, I don't understand how the money is being allocated to all the other 500 athletes when you have the number one athlete in the country.
No. Let's be very clear, because I don't want us to mislead each other and mislead even the athletes.
Mm, mm.
The issue is one is that when funding is given, it's given for different categories.
Yes, yes.
So there is allocation for development, there is allocation for administration, and allocation for high performance.
Yes.
And for high performance, at the moment, we do have three top athletes in our program.
Mm-hmm,
it's KG, it's Evans, and it's Lucas.
Yes.
So we need to actually look at their programs and see how best do we then allocate their funding. By the way, they need to cover their tournaments so that they can qualify for Paralympics. And to us, we need to make sure, it's our responsibility to make sure that they actually also participate in the Paralympics.
So they need to cover their tournaments by themselves, you're saying, before they
no,
qualify?
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the budget that we have now,
okay,
we need to make sure that it covers all the tournaments. But also, that money is not enough. We still need to get sponsors coming in.
Corporate South Africa.
So that, that's it. So that they can actually participate in all their activities and qualify for the World Paralympics.
Now that she's here, Mam Ravele, going forward, we have the U.S. Open next. Is there...
Yeah.
Money left for KG to go there?
I had a discussion with her yesterday, I think they did put forward a budget, and the CEO is working on that too. And she is actually communicating with Kutap.
All right. Mabalane, we've got Mam Ravele on the line as well, the Wheelchair Tennis South Africa chairperson. Good evening. You in Johannesburg?
Yes. Thank you. And congratulations to Kutato. But also congratulations to Mem Tambi Ravele. I mean, for me, this is an issue about the challenges the country has. Let's just take for an example, if Kutato was white, probably we would be talking a different type of challenge.
Mm.
So we also need not to look away in terms of the challenges that we have as a country, and we need to deal with them head on. But we must not take away the mammoth and monumental achievement that has been achieved,
yeah,
because it's going to encourage others. I mean, the challenges that they're experiencing as a federation cut across a number of other issues regarding people with disabilities. But we must celebrate them when they do well, but we must also push ourselves as people. And I think Ravele is there. So what they need to do tomorrow is to set up that account for South Africans to contribute as part of another revenue stream, whilst they engage with others to say, let's change the way we see ourselves. I think Kutato captured it well, we celebrate victory, but we we look away when people have to build towards that victory.
Yeah.
So we need to celebrate that which they have done. And contribute to solutions so that when other competitions come, at least there is something else that we would look back and say, at least we have done 1, 2, 3.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's stay in Johannesburg and chat to Patrick. Good evening, Patrick.
Yeah, it's nice. How are
you? Very good. Thank you.
I'm good. Good. Hello, Kutato.
Hello.
I'll be briefly. I was listening. Sometimes I can't hear Mama was saying regarding from government, department, allocation, because I was trying to get hold of or get through. This is, to be honest, this is disappointing that South Africa is not assisting people where are there already. A small thing that they need now to support, because it goes back to us as black people. We're going to continue this thing of calling black or white. We're going to continue to happen because, for example, Kevin was in the final. Everybody, I was also happy, you see.
Mm.
So there was no that black or white because of the South African people are representing us. Now that the lady that is playing the tennis in the wheelchair, there's no such things. Like versus what has been happening to Kevin Anderson, there's that gap that we need to close. Coming to the budget, I heard Mama, he was mentioning 700 and something.
50,000, yeah.
He is close to 1 million for the budget of the activity of the lady that now. But the thing is, my question is go back. Since the Umama understand the activities of the particular department, it goes back to the budget. When you request a budget to government, is it the budget based off the all the activity calendar days of it? Because if that is not happening, this will continue to happen.
Every season. All right.
Yeah. So what I'm trying to say is, this is disturbing, and it's not right. Because before I call now, I was wanting you to also to call government. If government didn't do something, they must call. They must account, because the person is not on his own, but the South African flag is flying high. Mm. But there's no one that is putting their hands under that person to come out with the victory.
All right.
So this gap will not close until the race, the color, gender, whatever. We're going to continue saying that if this gap is not being closed.
All right. Thank you very much, Patrick, in Johannesburg. Ms. Ravele, as we close things up, let's look ahead. I did touch on it, and you're saying there is no money at the moment in the association. There's great support for KG. However, you talked about budget that's been put, because you spoke to her yesterday, for the US Open now that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Do you think funds will be able to be raised to assist her?
From our discussion yesterday, they seem not to be a problem. But I did actually recommend to her, and actually with the CEO, for them to work on something and then come back to us as the board.
All right. Ms. Ndambiravela, we'll definitely be chatting to you again regarding this one. I mean, it's a touchy one, and we've spoken lengthly on various topics.
It's a frustrating situation, to be very honest with you. And I think if people could actually get more exposure on challenges faced with wheelchair tennis, even at a lower level, I think people would understand some of our frustrations. But I think what we should want to focus on now is actually to focus on our top athletes, so that their awareness could actually assist us to support those ones who are up and coming.
All right. Thank you very much for you all, for your input, and letting us chat to you tonight. That's Ms. Ndambiravele. KG, your feelings about what's been said tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I can hear a lot of South Africans were touched by my story. But like I said, I'm very proud to be South African. And
don't doubt that. Nobody doubts that.
And I'm not going to let all this, crush my confidence or crush me at all. Like I always said, I do it for myself. And yeah, I mean, if help comes my way, that would be perfect. But if it doesn't, I will always persevere as I was. And I'm not going to give up now. I'm just going to keep pushing.
Okay, so now we've heard the answer is not really clear with regards to the budget being available. There's still ongoing talks for the US Open. How much does it cost for you to get to the US Open?
129,000. Yeah, 129,000 rand, probably around that, for me and my coach.
We can't, South Africa, raise 129,000, but we can give it to one player in one go. Come on.
I mean, and you can imagine, like, Lebo, I don't even have a single racket sponsor, even though after the whole Wimbledon thing, the way people were showing interest, I don't have a clothing sponsor. And people might be wondering, what do I do with the money that I get from tennis or prize money? I still have to cover, you know, all that. I mean, sports clothes are...
they're expensive.
They're so expensive. Rackets,
equipment is expensive.
Racket is expensive. So you can imagine, like, people wonder, what do I do with my money? And at the end of the day, I still have to provide for myself. But anyway, it's not a worry.
So at this point,
and I still have to represent my country, which I mean, I'm happy to do it.
And then we cry when people don't want to represent South Africa, right? And decided they're going to play for another nationality.
Yeah, then South Africans go mad and say people are not patriot or what. But I mean, like I said, for me also, if I get an opportunity to represent a certain country, why not, if they're going to support me? So it's just the moral of the story. But I believe anyone, you know their story better, and they know their challenges better, which is what's happening to me. So, I mean, I can only work with what can work from my side, and the rest, you know, control the controllables. That's what works for me.
What's the sports ministry saying?
Okay. I mean, so far I just got a DM from Instagram, someone from the sports ministry who wanted my details. So haven't heard from them yet. They said they will keep in touch. So yeah, I mean, I don't know, like
a DM on Instagram.
I guess I don't know, but it is what it is. Honestly, that's what I got. Then I had to give my details and still waiting for that call or email. I mean, people are busy, so like I'm a very patient person. Maybe we'll get there.
Yesterday there were also government officials at your arrival. What did they say?
Yeah, Minister MEC, is it the MEC? The MEC of Gauteng even came earlier because, you know, when you land, baggage, and because she had other commitments. I mean, for me, I really appreciate it coming from an MEC to come with the suggestion of welcoming me, something that never happened to me before. I mean, for me, like...
Did you tell the MEC you need money to go to the US Open?
Unfortunately, by the time I came out, the minister has left because she had other commitment. But, I mean, for me, what I can say for her, you know, setting up the whole thing, that's one thing I appreciate. And I don't know, but that's what I appreciate, you know, at the moment, that at least she made an effort. So, yeah, I have to appreciate the little that I get and keep pushing. Like I say, I just have to keep pushing and never give up, because this is a long way. Like I said, South Africa celebrate only the victory.
So Uri, who did the MEC or the minister left?
MEC, it was the
MEC. Is it MEC?
Yeah.
So the MEC came to support you, and you were very grateful for that event being put together, right?
Yeah.
To welcome you.
Definitely.
But the MEC had other things to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's the message I got, that she had other commitment that morning. So she thought I was going to come out directly at 8:30.
And then you came out at what time?
Around 10, because I mean, for me, it takes a lot of time to get baggage because it's wheelchair.
You don't need to explain that. You really don't need. It wasn't like a 4-hour wait. Right? Come on, South Africa.
Spill efforts, I guess.
Aye, come on. Mac in the mother city. Good evening. Mac? Hi, Mac.
Yeah, Monday. I'm glad that we do have a lady who got a strong spirit like she is. Mm. Because now, you see, she has traveled to overseas out of her pocket and all that stuff, but it's a disgrace as well for the country not to support such a lady who is not able to do things at her own. Look, for example, the what she has just explained now, saying that she has taken a lot of time in order to out of the flight, stuff like that, and you know. But the country is standing on other side, not supporting her, which is a disgrace for me. Like,
All right.
They need to step up a little bit, like those MEC.
Okay.
They need to step up and support the people of South Africa.
All right. Thank you very much, Mac. And Kulani, our last caller tonight on this particular topic with KG in studio. You in Durban tonight. Good evening.
Hi, good evening. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Well, thanks. Quickly, I would like to congratulate the lady there. What she's done
KG.
Is unimaginable.
Yeah.
It is unimaginable. It's quite an achievement. Well done and congrats. You're going to have to persevere. I would like to, although challenge Metro, guys, you are in the driving seat. You've got to step on one side of the fence. Unity will begin with you guys. South Africa is an infant since all our problems and our changes. There's a gentleman that spoke here about taking responsibility, all of us together, not just challenging individuals in their seniority. Yes, it's their responsibility. But as this topic is still unclear, whether the funds are right, he said the funds were not there. I am quite sure that there are processes and protocols that need to be followed in preparation, one way or the other. The management of the lady and the tennis forum or association South Africa knew that there was a chance for her to qualify, right?
Yeah.
there was enough time for preparation. There was enough time for media coverage. There was enough time to blow the whistle. It was not done. Now we are painting a bleak picture altogether. And, you know, I'm sitting here. I'm not quite sure how to feel, because this is one person out of over 55 million people in South Africa, especially being a black lady and the rest. This is a huge step.
All right.
But if we can remember what Obama said, the former president of America said about South Africans, especially the youth, learning to take charge, think differently, think critically, rather than having a bleak picture painted on the media by somebody who must take responsibility. It is true. There are protocols that are followed, and I'm sure that if you heard the gentleman that played in Franz Anderson, he stated how complicated and how difficult it was even for him financially to be there. But he had been there over 6 years, and this was his chance to be in the final.
All right. Thank you very much, Khulani. When did you find out you were going to be at Wimbledon? Did you find out a week before?
It was on the 20th of June while I was playing in Paris.
That you found out?
That's when I found out that I got a wild card. Because normally the wild card, it takes, I don't know, like maybe 2 weeks before the tournament, the able-bodied tournament starts. That's when they announces the wild card. So for me, I was in Paris playing a tournament there.
But then, you know what tournaments you'll be playing next year, right?
I mean, at the moment, I can't really plan anything ahead because there's no money. So
what I'm saying is, it's not the first time some of these tournaments you've been there. So in terms of we planning ahead, it's not. We know where you'll be next year. Surely we can plan.
Definitely, there is a preliminary schedule. It's there, you know, it's there, and tournament, big tournaments like that.
Yeah.
I mean, they're always highlighted that I can, possibility of getting there is there. I mean, yeah, I mean, everything get prepared on time. I mean, it gets scheduled on time, possible tournaments to play and whatnot. But yeah, it's actually tough to can say I can go there and play and whatnot if there's really no funding.
All right. What is your message to the South Africans that are listening that also wanted to help out? What is your message to all the South Africans as we close it up?
I mean, any type of help that comes my way, I will welcome it.
How do we get in touch then, in terms of a help? Because you said the the entire ministry sends you a DM on Instagram.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as you see, I'm with our PR guy from Wheelchair Tennis here. I would like him to, you know, give you the details, because he's the one who really quite manage me with all this. So I would let him give you the details if there's anyone who really wants to help me in any way.
All right.
And my message to the South Africans is, don't give up, no matter how tough it gets, because I mean, we live in the world of possibilities.
Sure.
So keep going until you reach that dream.
All right. Anthony is here in studio. You said you wanted to help. His number is 082-382-0850. 082-382-0850. And I will post it, because a lot of people also do a lot of talking.
Definitely.
You know? And then after the show, no, it was great. And then they don't support. So we will also be tracking if anyone continued and came back to you guys to support. And I'm really embarrassed by some of my colleagues, you know, that are in various positions, and they letting you go. How much did you get from the sports awards when you won?
Like in the past?
Yeah.
It was like 130,000 in 2013.
But you need 129,000. It can't come out of anywhere.
Yeah, but remember that 130,000 already has bought the racket, it has bought the kid and all that. It has brought food to my table.
That's what I'm saying. And now we can't get 129,000.
You know what, Lebo, like I said, I don't know how it will happen, but, you know, I don't know. For me, things always happen. I mean, with God, everything always happens for me. It's not something that's gonna crush me, like I said.
Mm.
I know something positive will come up, because I always believe that something will come up, and I will go out there and represent the country still in the US Open. And you know what? when I get to the US Open, that will mark 4 slams in 1 year that I've ever done, and it makes me the first African wheelchair tennis player
again,
to do that.
And we will talk to you again to congratulate you again. So thank you very much. Thank you very much for being part of the show tonight, KG.
Thank you so much.
Anthony is the man to call on 082-382-0850. His email address is pr@tennis.co.za. pr@tennis.co.za.